I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Grand.
And this random we little bump and grind
are back. We are back.
We are back.
We're getting dug back.
it was a nice little hiatus.
But then what was there to talk about besides nothing at all.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Like most TikTokers I follow right now, it's just tumbleweeds of what the fuck am I doing?
You know, it's funny. I never really thought about it till this very moment, but like Homer admitting that Flanders is sexy as hell shows just truly how truly comfortable Homer is in his sexuality.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think we all need to, like... Isn't there the episode where, like, Ned and Marge do a streetcar named Desire, and Ned takes his shirt off, and he's ripped? Yeah. Like...
Yep. It's just stellar!
My boy Ned be pumping iron, bro.
It's also, like, they do him so dirty when he's wearing his shirt, because he looks like he's got that little fucking spare tire, and he's just this skinny little fucker. But the second you take that shit off, the man is a Greek god.
You know,
he's built like a brick house.
You know, Mortis heels to Jesus. Well, when she was alive, on a nightly basis.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mort.
Oh, absolutely.
Diddly, just chilling with my pal Homer. Diddly. Oh, sure, it's slippy up here, so I don't fall. Ah, oh, don't! She didn't see it.
Oh, no, I think I'm having a heart attack. He just waits for this scream and... I love how we're like at the beginning. It's like, so we're just going to dive in. It's like, yep, we dove right into The Simpsons, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Right, before we get on with excellent news... News that made me and Sebastian go, huh? News that makes me and Sebastian go, okay, cool. It is the birthday of the granddaddy of all consoles. Well, not the granddaddy of all consoles, because there's the Atari, the NES, but the one our generation started with, probably, or at least knew of, the N64. Yeah. Happy birthday. Happy 27th birthday. I love you. You've been helping me get to sleep recently with the 4-hour compilations on YouTube of just music from classic games. But it's like,
yeah,
it's set up in like an old room that makes me think about my old room, the classic television mm-hmm. that like you couldn't break it, but when you knocked on it, it was like dung dung, like it, like you know, those classic televisions, the VHS built-in kind of shit. And it's like,
yeah,
you see the visuals of the games, like it goes through like a little bit of gameplay if it's free to use, and then like menus and shit. And I was like, you know what, this is the perfect level of nostalgia for me. I was struggling to get to sleep like past couple of days, and you know what, boom. And I, like, oh man, good stuff. I wake up, go for a piss, turn it off, back to, you know, right back to Sleepland, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, man. Just before we move on, your favorite N64 game, if you have one, if you played.
Yeah, no, I still have my N64. I don't have any of the fucking cables for it, but it's there. like I think that was the first like quote unquote next gen mm-hmm. console that I had, because I remember the first video game console that we had was a fucking Sega Dreamcast.
Can't say Sega without going Sega. There we go. Awesome. There's our copyright.
And it's like, I remember playing a couple games on it and just being so shit. just being god awful. Like, what the fuck am I doing with this? But then after a while, you know, you get a little bit better because you play more. And then I would play, you know, Super Mario 64, which is
classic.
Just a classic. A fantastic fucking game. Mm-hmm. Fantastic game. And then, you know, if I had to pick my favorite game, I'd probably go Pokemon Stadium.
Oh.
There's just
Pokemon
something
Stadium
about...
one or two?
No, two. Pokemon Stadium 2. Yeah. You had more Pokemon options, and you just beat the ever-living shit out of Pokemon.
The mini games were great.
They were so fucking fun.
They were
so fucking fun.
Like, not only did you have all of the best mini games from the last one, we're not going to talk about Chansey's Egg Hunt. That game, just the amount of times I got to 99, and then you catch that fucking Voltorb that's just falling at 99 miles per hour just to fuck up your day. Meanwhile, my brother's over here like it's fucking nothing, making his own words to the song that's playing. I am better than Edward, or something like that. Meanwhile, I'm just there with like the weirdest shaped controller of all time. Like, did you hold, like, I definitely hand on the right paddle, because that's where the camera one was. Then the move analog stick was in the middle.
But
then there was one on the left as well, for no goddamn mm-hmm. fucking reason. People older than us use that middle stick that just stuck out a little bit too far for something else. then you had the always vibrate mode on the Wii remote. You know what Nintendo was doing there. I see you, Miyamoto.
Mrs.
Miyamoto.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I honestly believe, for me, the N64 was what kickstarted the interest in video games.
I think
wanting to continue to play video games.
Consoles today owe everything to the N64.
Yeah.
100%. In terms of catalog of games, in terms of bums in seats, you know, power of a console. At the time, the N64 was unmatched. The only thing that battled the N64 was the PlayStation 1. And I think the N64 forced PlayStation to bring out the PlayStation 2. And then Microsoft was like, yo, whoa, what the fuck? Like, we want in on this as well. And then, you know, Xbox has forever been trying, but...
And let's be real, if we're talking, you know, powerful, all-time great consoles, the N64 set that bar. I would argue the PS2... raised up.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, like PlayStation were happy with the PlayStation 1, but they saw, like, you couldn't have been working at Sony at the time and not seeing what Nintendo was doing with the N64.
Yep.
Yeah, like SSX 1080, Conker's Bad Fur Day, and then what was the Diddy Kong Racing, Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, like just rare games in general. Come on, GoldenEye. I know GoldenEye was on different consoles, but
yeah
everyone remembers. If you remember N64, you remember that game on the N64. Yep. And then, like Absolutely. You said, all the Mario games, Mario Golf, Mario N64, the original Mario Kart. Come the fuck on now! I mean, my
Mario Party and shit.
My favorite game. Come on, GoldenEye. Can't talk about this shit without that. But yeah, Super Mario 64 was right there. But yeah, happy birthday to the N64. I don't know what Nintendo's doing at the moment. They're probably kind of wishing they did take the bag from Microsoft, because they have no idea what they're doing with their next console. If that ship still plays games at 24 frames per second at 720, we've got fucking issues.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of, yep. like, I cancelled my Nintendo Switch Online. I didn't even finish Scarlet and Violet.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's how bad that game was, man. Like, unplayable. I've never really been a Zelda guy. I respect Zelda. Hands up. I know what Zelda's done, like, for gaming as a whole. But, like, after Scarlet and Violet, I looked at Tears of the Kingdom, and I'm like, why did Pokemon struggle, man? I don't get it. But, like, you know, there's plenty of games on the Switch that they look good. They don't play good.
Yeah.
And it's like, just before we move on again, sorry. Holy fuck, Cyberpunk!
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone shat on that game. I'm blown away. Let's just, like, I'm just gonna put this real quick into perspective. Starfield was sitting at like an 8.5 user rating. I'm more of a Metacritic guy these days than Rotten Tomatoes. 8.5 user rating, 92. Like, overall score. Cyberpunk 2.0 came down. Cyberpunk 2.0 came out, along with Phantom Liberty. Phantom Liberty, apparently, like, nines across the board, 4.5s, if a review is, like, out of 5, but out of 10, nines across the board, 9.2s here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cyberpunk 2.0 is, like, so good, restart your game. If you've played it, like, if you were one of those that played all the way through the last time, start again, and fall back in love with it. Holy crap. I didn't even finish my last game because it kept crashing. There was bugs. I had characters just T-posing, like floating around the map, T-posing. Cars just flying rather than floating. Uh-huh. Oh, look, he's flying. Dude died in a hang gliding accident. What an idiot. But it was unplayable, so I stopped. I stopped. But then I re-downloaded recently, and I'm in love. Starfield. User score is now below that of Fallout 72.
Damn.
The 92 overall score, that won't change because reviewers will review something once and change. Cyberpunk 2.0 kind of got a bit of a buy because it was a general overall re-release of the game, but the user rating of Starfield plummeted, and it's one reason. Seamless transitions. Cyberpunk, you go in and out of buildings like it's nothing. Like, from dark nightclubs underground to outside, bright sunshiny day. You can see day transitions to night transitions, rain, sun, fog, because you're like in the far away future kind of shit. And it's seamless. No issues. No, like, maybe if you're playing on an older generation console, which I don't think your version got updated, but maybe there's like some loading if you try to do too much too soon. But Starfield, you open a door, there's still like a 10-20 second wait time.
What are you playing it on?
I'm playing on the Xbox Series X.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think like the 2.0 and Phantom Liberty, like CD Projekt Red said, like, I think it's only next gen. Which is why the game is just runs so much better. But if you look at what they made the game on DSSL, That's not as good as solid state drive making on games. So why does Starfield have all these load screens? If I'm PlayStation and like you've heard Microsoft say that like Elder Scrolls 6 ain't going on to PlayStation, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Starfield is ass. You have no idea what you're doing with Fallout. You'll probably re-release Skyrim 2-3 more times before we even get a trailer for the Elder Scrolls 6. By the way, we got a reveal trailer back in 2018. I know we talked about it last week. Well, not last week, last episode. That, you know, we need to stop getting these reveal trailers 2 million years before the game releases. Absolute ass. But yeah. So
I also think at this point, PlayStation is just like Spider-Man.
Have you seen the two photos released today of a really angry looking Peter Parker, there's one no mask and then one where he's putting the mask down.
Mm-hmm.
I painted the inside of my boxers.
Bro, I cannot wait because I can actually play it because I'm finally part of that current gen gang.
I know two people, you and one of my other friends, both had your birthdays recently. You both got PS5s. So it's like, it only took you 4 years?
About.
I've been here. I've been here, bro.
I'm just like, fuck, better late than never because, god damn. But I got that shit and I was given a PlayStation Network gift card. And I looked at it, I was like, okay, I know what I must do. I hooked it up, I set it up. The second that motherfucker was set up, I pre-ordered Spider-Man 2. That shit is good
Did you go Digital Deluxe?
Of course, Digital Deluxe. There's so many other games that I was like, oh, I could get this now and play it now. Or...
I can solidify why I'm actually
exactly.
here.
Exactly. This is the game that pushed me over the limits. I need it. I need it.
I need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I need it. SpongeBob. Pinky. Did I show you what I got? You know, so my PS5 controller broke. My only PS5 controller broke. The one that you helped me complete Spider-Man on. May it rest in peace. I replaced that motherfucker with the Spider-Man 2 edition of the PS5 controller.
Yes. That's so fucking dope, dude.
Speaking of reboots and re-releases, what the fuck is going on with The Office, man?
Alright, so we're going to throw it to a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this episode. We're going to be talking...
Meat and potatoes!
We're going to be talking The Office reboot. We're going to be talking Golden Globes. We're going to be talking fucking SAG video game actors. But we're also going to be talking about the potential end of the writer's strike. So stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do, 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 do,
And we're back. And it's live.
I love that little fucking Jeopardy music at the beginning.
I was contemplating between that and the old Canadian news anchor. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
You know, welcome
to the news at 9.
Every time I think about Canadians when it comes to voices, I just think South Park. Oh, hello, buddy.
Not your guy,
welcome man. Back to the show. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
I need to replay Stick of Truth and get AIDS in Canada and defeat the last boss with AIDS. Apparently, that's one of the secret achievements that I never did. And if there's a game that's worth 100%, if there's a game that's worth 100%ing, it's the Stick of Truth.
It is definitely the Stick of Truth.
I mean, even both those games were sick.
The last time I was so close, I missed one fucking trophy, and it was because I couldn't find a Chim Pokemon. I was on that fucking spaceship.
Oh, and I thought you missed the one in the school.
If you don't get the one, I got literally all of them but the one in the spaceship. Because if you don't get it when you're there, you cannot go back to get it.
Yeah,
and it's so ass.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's the best thing about the second game. There's no missable trophies. Right. Where do we want to start? There's so much to dig in. Do we want to do the globes? Because no one really gives a shit about the globes.
Yeah. Let's do the globes. let's get that out of the way. So it was announced today that next year there's going to be two brand new categories for the Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes are still only televised, right?
Yeah.
They don't do live action anymore.
What do you mean?
Last year, the Golden Globes wasn't live. It was only on...
Oh, yeah.
It was...
No, I think this coming year it's going to be telecast, because it says it's going to be airing on January 7th.
Okay, awesome.
So the
I didn't
new
see any of this shit. No, this stuff didn't come on my Twitter.
Oh, really?
No. Okay. How recent? How old?
According to Variety, this article from Variety is about 3 hours old.
Ah, that's why, you dumbass.
Well, I saw it. What do you want me to say?
I've been making dinner.
Oh, okay. Well, that time difference. Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Right, so these new categories, regale me.
So they are cinematic and box office achievement.
Okay, cool.
And best performance and stand-up comedy on television.
I see you, Globes, I see you.
They also announced like what the eligibility is for each one. Yeah. And so for cinematic and box office, motion pictures are eligible for this award if they achieve a box office receipt / total gross of at least $150 million, of which $100 million must come from the U.S. domestic box office.
Ah, okay. So, sorry, Flash. And Blue Beetle.
I think this is kind of like... What was that Oscar like popular film award or whatever? I think it's like to give recognition to the movies that people, you know, actually go out of their way to see.
Yeah. Like yeah. You can't not watch the Oscars as a standard viewer of cinema and be like, I don't see half this shit. Like yep. I'm out here watching Oppenheimer and Barbie, man. Like what the fuck is Walk Through the Daisies with this no-armed, no-legged asylum seeker fucking piece of shit that's 3 hours long for no goddamn fucking reason. So I'm sick to death of these fucking... Have you seen this movie? Like, it matters, man. I don't care if it matters. It's not entertaining.
Yep. Yep. I've had so many conversations.
I'm looking forward to Napoleon, but it's Joaquin Phoenix in a documentary, in a biopic movie directed by Ridley Scott. This movie's already 1 hour and 30 minutes too long.
Then
you've got 3 hours, 26 minutes for The Killers of a Flower Moon.
I know. It looks really good, but goddamn.
Man needs a piss, bro. Man has more to do than just, like, Tar was only like, was just under 3 hours. I need people to stop telling me how great this movie was whenever I talk to them. It's like, did you see Tar? Yes, I saw Tar. And I'm sitting here, if I am a straight man, I'm not about to write a movie about not being straight. This movie is about a female conductor getting all touchy-feely with her, first violin chair, from Philharmonic series and shit. Written and directed by a man with a penis. What do you know about female conductors, bruv? If I'm not allowed to fucking cross boundaries, you're not allowed to fucking do it.
Yeah.
This movie pissed me off. I need people to stop telling me how great this movie was. That and The Whale, fuck off.
Well, if it's any consolation, I haven't seen either one of them.
Good, don't. Do yourself a favor and go watch The Creator and Dumb Money, which is what I'm doing on Saturday.
I want to see those movies so bad. Right,
I'm glad I'm seeing Dumb Money. It's literally on its way out in cinemas over here. One showing a day, and it came out last week. It came out last week.
Jesus, I think first it comes out this week.
Ah, okay, yeah, I would get down with the funky sound.
So we've got this other one, best performance in stand-up comedy or television, and it's definitely, for me, I think the more interesting of the two. So to be eligible, it's a traditional stand-up performance, at least 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it has to be on either broadcast, basic, premium cable, streaming, or pay-per-view cable. And I'm like, but here's where, for me, it's the more distinct of the two, because I feel like this one is the most aside from that meeting those eligibility requirements, how do you judge them? Because it's so fucking subjective.
Yeah.
You know a good movie, you know a bad movie, but you could watch a stand-up special and think it's not funny, but you could watch another stand-up special and think it's the funniest fucking thing ever created.
And ever, I don't trust the Golden Globes of comedy ever since The Tourist won Best Comedy Musical. That shit-ass movie with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
So bad. I hate it. That movie's so stupid.
The Globes don't know, man. But, I've already said too much about, You know my thoughts and feelings on this.
Yeah.
Everyone does. And we know who's going to win.
For me, the only positive for me on this is that it's definitely giving that recognition to stand-ups that you don't really get.
I love that. But
so aside from that, it's about
female comedians. That's about as good as it gets. Man. Female comedians do not make me laugh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see them on TikTok, and it's all the same shit about guys don't know what they're doing in bed, guys don't know when to come or what to do or some shit, and it's like you stop when I say we stop. It's like, okay, so you say no and it's like, wah, no, shut it down. But when we try to say no, it's like, okay, cool, yeah, nice to know this goes both ways. But I don't know, man. Like you say, how do you judge that? Comedy is different for everyone. That's just me. Yeah, I love these American comedians. My dad does not. My dad loves all these English comedians. I watch them. I'm like, I have no idea what they're going on about. I don't watch this guy in, not going out, not staying in. That the Lee Mack. Big Lee Mack series. I don't know if you know the name, but he does these stand-ups. My dad loves it. I'm just straight faced. We all find shit different. We all find funny. God, I wish Bernie Mac was still alive because he'd own this fucking award, man. Just that.
Yeah.
You know what bit I'm talking about. Teasing me. But yeah, it's like. you know, I'm controversial in this. Like, I'm sick to death of stand-up comedy and the, like, the Bible-sized rule book we now have to follow.
Yeah.
It's not fun. People are, like, you know, having to watch what they do, watch what they say. Like, my mate recently went viral for doing the slow motion goal celebration. And I was like, that's that's physical. I know this guy's a master with his face. Like, so, like, him doing slow motion is like, just seeing him in real life and all the faces he pulls, like, when you have a couple of drinks with him, like, he is just a giggle box. You cannot spend 2 minutes with Carl Porter and not be absolutely laughing your skull off. For me, he's the next generation of comedian. And I can't, like, I'm so glad he's exploded, and I cannot wait to see where he goes. Because he's, like, he's not Jimmy Carr being offensive for no goddamn reason. It's like, oh, if no one's going to be offensive, then I'm just going to bump up being offensive. It's like, it's not about that. So you nailed it as soon as you started talking about this. How'd you judge this? And we'll see. I guess we'll see. We'll see who gets nominated. But I can't remember the last time I watched a stand-up that actually came out in that year. You know what I mean? When I go to watch a stand-up, I'm watching shit from early noughties, 90s. Like, I'm trying to watch the classics. Like, recent comedies, I guess. Joe Coy is pretty good.
Yeah, I really like Joe.
Yeah, I like Joe Coy, but like, even then, for some people, like, wasn't his last stand up like 2018? Especially on Netflix, Netflix. Yeah, like,
I remember in his last one that I saw, he had this whole bit comparing Mexicans to Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that shit had me rolling because he was so right. But speaking of judging, so recently there's some stuff that came out that's been like, huh, what? And that is, of course, apparently there is a reboot of The Office on the horizon.
I had this announcement open on my phone last night for so long that I damn near thought I time traveled. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep staring at it, woke up, and my facial expression went right back to being, huh? Not only is it being rebooted again, it's being rebooted by the same showrunner, Greg Daniels.
Yep.
Never in my 29 years of living, don't ask me how close I am to 30, I'm not going to tell you. I know I said that last time. And
motherfucker, I'm 31.
I don't give a shit about you. We're talking about me. I love you. Happy birthday, by the way, for last week or 2 weeks ago.
Thank you.
Are we still in September?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was last week.
Yeah.
But I know you like it when I say this because I go unreasonably high with my last word. Why?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know because obviously there's so many questions that
right now
cannot be answered.
face
palming right now.
Like, you just know it's gonna be woke as fuck.
Here's my question. Obviously, there we have no information other than the fact that there's a potential that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with it? Do you continue the American series? Do you start fresh with someone? Because I don't know. I feel like that's one of the big things that's going to determine whether or not people are even going to give a shit. Is it a continuation or is it a complete restart? A reset?
The Office for you, like, so it started 2002, 2004? About that time?
About 2005, I think.
2005. Yeah. It redefined comedy.
Yeah.
It is the reason why comedy movies changed, comedy series changed, stand-ups changed. The humor became more real, more connectable. Like, you know, so many people working a dead-end office job. Like, it was the height of the water cooler series. Like, we're saying water cooler series. And there's people in our generation, and there's definitely people in the next generation that are like, what the fuck is that? Like, exactly.
The water cooler show.
Water cooler show. Like, you bite us, bastion of a bygone era. Like, fucking Lost, Prison Break. Mmm, what I wouldn't give. Sorry. get a chance to rewatch something for the first time. Lost, man. Give me that reaction to when fucking Charlie dies, not Penny's boat. I want to punch the TV screen, bro. Like, I was feeling it. I was there. Give me Hurley, man. Just want to give him a big fucking hug. I love you, Hurley.
So the idea, obviously, of like,
But like comedy's different now.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can go back. And I don't think an office with today's comedy would work. There is no Ricky Gervais. The reason why your office worked is because you took what we made and you just ran away with it. You had such of a wider audience. We stuck our office on the BBC and we left it there to die. And you were like, no, this shit's on ABC, CBS?
NBC.
NBC. Like even better. Like... Mm-hmm. The hierarchy of tears. You stuck that shit on prime time with actors that were like, you know, on the rise, going nothing but up. Nothing but up. And we grew up with these characters. So many of us grew up with these characters. The adults who were already working the jobs, like, were like, oh, I relate to this so much. Like my boss, the asshole that's like grown mung beans in his desk. The warehouse guys, there was so much to relate to. Mm-hmm. And us as kids, that we didn't really get the innuendo. We just saw Michael Scott and Rainn Wilson doing physical shit, locking the doors and setting the shit on fire. Like Kevin dropping the chili, generational. I don't understand. You can't do that to that. You can't. We've moved on. It was what it was.
So it's... kind of going back to the whole idea of the water cooler show, like obviously when you think of water cooler, you think of, you're watching it when it comes out.
Uh-huh.
You're going to work. You're talking about it. So I would say where The Office is now in terms of prolific fucking mythic status as a TV show was very much helped with streaming because it is probably the most bingeable TV show.
Yes.
On streaming.
Peacock came out, they were like, we want The Office back. We need streaming money.
If you do this reboot, considering the legacy of The Office, doing this reboot, can you do it traditional broadcast or should it be streaming?
It'll be streamed. It'll be streamed. It has to be.
It has to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, because... like you were talking about, you know, the British version, it was kind of just laid to rest and that stuff. And as great as the cast of The Office is, everyone damn well knows, because it was such an uproar when he left, Steve Carell was the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Steve Carell was the show. And we saw what the show was like. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as good as when he was there.
No. Yeah.
So if you're doing this and you don't bring him back or you don't find someone to match that, should you even do it?
There's no one in comedy movies today that was at Steve Carell's level when The Office first started. That's you. Like, you have to make character. Like, we have to relate to these characters. You have to make them real. As soon as you cast someone well known, the like the glass is shattered. It's why I think people still watch Friends, why people still watch How I Met Your Mother, why people still watch The Office, like you just said, because you can watch them and you can, like, you see them learning as the show continues to go on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just know they're going to cast someone well known, and it's like, okay, cool. But these other shows, they made people. Shows don't do that anymore because they're not cable. This show works if you undo everything you know it's going to do.
Yeah.
Don't put it on streaming, put it on cable. Don't cast anyone well-known or, like, on their way to being well-known. But as soon as something comes out now, it's... Matt Damon put this so eloquently, that the difference between being successful now and being successful then was hard copies, DVDs, Blu-rays. A movie would come out and there was marketing, advertising, and, like, you know, there was budget set aside because you know that the college dropouts, the high schoolers, even, like, the stoner adults, you know, like, movies like Dogma, they couldn't come out today. Multiple reasons why Dogma couldn't come out today. But you know where Dogma made all of its money? DVDs. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of, like, movies that flopped, that didn't actually flop, like Waterworld, not a flop, because it made so much money, because it's made so much money in DVD and Blu-ray revenue.
To
the point where it even got re-released in 4K before other movies. Like, and yeah, you still hate
I still
it,
hate him.
But, like, like, it got word of mouth, which is why.
Oh no, yeah,
that level of person I'm talking about, the college is like, yo, mm-hmm. Put these movies like dog shit. Let's get fucking high and watch it, man. Like,
right.
Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
No. It's funny too, because there's so many, you see previews on, like, YouTube and stuff about when a movie's getting its digital release.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just doesn't hold the same weight as, like, a Blu-ray and, you know, or a DVD. Obviously, because there's no physical hard copy, and it's definitely showing, like, how for granted people took mm-hmm. physical media.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and, you know, just because we're talking about it, we're talking about flops, and we're talking about this, let's talk about blockbusters this year, because it was such an interesting trend, rather depressing, but also kind of, I don't want to say inspirational, but it was definitely eye-opening into what audiences are very much looking for in their movies.
Do you know what the current highest grossing movie is right now? Has been 3 weeks running, and I didn't even realize it'd been released for 3 weeks.
No.
That's how out of touch we are, bro. The Nun 2.
Oh, I wasn't sure it was doing well. Because I literally haven't heard
it's
about it.
It's been on top of the box office for 3 weeks running.
Fucking A.
Do you know what's still in cinemas, and it's not Barbie? Super fucking Mario. Still in UK
Super
cinemas.
Mario.
And I bet you there's some cinemas, dude, like, where there's, like, if you look in America, where there's multiple schools, like, so probably not Burbank. There's not many schools around Burbank, but maybe, like, areas in Linden where, you know, find a shopping center, there's an AMC there, Mario's probably still playing.
Damn.
Like, I think there's a graph in what movie companies think we want and what audiences actually want. And if you look at Mario, you look at Barbie, you know, maybe, like, horror sequels in October, like, near enough to Halloween, like, you just know they're gonna do well. So don't really count those. They don't really, like, horror is its own thing. I spent a whole semester's worth of university learning what genre meant as a whole by studying horror. So, like, that, no, we don't touch that. but it's originality. And you know what? And you know what Mattel and Nintendo have just seen? It's like, oh, they're like Mario. They're like Barbie. Barbie 2, Ken movie, Mario 2, Peach movie. No, man. Give me a Zelda movie. Like, the best thing Mattel did, even though it's question marks, is they're making a Magic 8-Ball movie. At least you've seen that Barbie did well, so you're going to see what else you've got, and you're going to make a movie out of it. But we keep getting sequels. We keep getting requels. We keep getting universe tie-in movies. Like, I was one of those people that, like, back in the day, Martin Scorsese, bro, just, you know, chill. But now I'm like, actually, yeah, man. Movies do need to have, like, I know what I said about 20 minutes ago in terms of, like, these long-ass movies, like, movies that are just, their message is just, like, more to make you think than rather enjoy. But at least those movies that make you think have an identity. I sometimes don't agree with them, but they mean more to me now than these big, bombastic blockbusters that cost way, way, way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so let's talk about other blockbusters. The Flash. Did you think that was profitable?
Hell no.
No.
God, no, dude.
Indiana Jones, do you think that was profitable?
Nope.
Dead Reckoning, Mission Impossible, did you think that was profitable?
No.
It was not. Does Blue Beetle count as a blockbuster? No, because it got no advertising. Sorry, it should have, but it didn't.
It really should have.
Yeah, it really should have. There's all these movies that came out this year that had all of the advertising, all of the red carpet, even Oppenheimer, the highest grossing biopic movie of all time. Still not profitable. People aren't seeing these movies. And when they are, you need these people to see a movie. You need that screen filled to the brim worldwide so many times. And it's a death sentence if your movie isn't in China anymore.
It's also that thing of, like, you know, you kind of mentioned it. You know, a movie costs way too much to make. These studios are putting stupid, and I mean stupid amounts of money into these movies. And it's gotten to the point where if all of these movies aren't hitting that $1 billion mark, they're not gonna be profitable in any sense. It's such a stupid business model.
One of the other bigger problems is on media platforms like X. So fucking weird to say Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the
I'm not gonna call it X ever.
Yeah,
it's fucking X. Stupid.
Like, man, Elon Musk out here trying to get me caught in 4K when I'm opening up my laptop. Mum's like, oh, can you check Twitter for me? X. What's that? There's nothing. He knows. As soon as you type in X,
videos. He knows what he did.
No one's been on that website for years, but you were on it enough back in the day that your computer still knows. And it'll be, you coming back? You coming back? No. You fucking knob jockey. Right, Twitter. All these movie reviews, they come out and say, oh, the budget of, I think, what was the recent one? I'm trying to think of a recent, it may have been Blue Beetle. It made like $168 million worldwide, but the budget was like $150 million. It may not have been Blue Beetle, it may have been something else, but I can't remember. But I remember the numbers, and I remember everyone on the comments was like, oh, so it made money then? Like, not a lot, but it made a little bit of money. They now have to say, oh yeah, $150 million for the budget as standard, but that's without advertising and marketing, which is now double the budget of the movie. You need to start including how much movies put into advertising and marketing, just so that the average consumer can see the pure failure. Like we were talking about earlier. I was gonna hoping you were gonna put me in it, but I'm gonna have to put myself in it. My dumbass in 2021, when AMC and game stocks were making their money. Oh, if you want to know more about that, Dumb Money is out, by the way, and highly recommended. I'm seeing it on Saturday. I put money into Cineworld because I knew Cineworld owned AMC. I was like, oh, so AMC in America is making money. There must be some kind of drip. There was for a little bit. But I looked at my share dealing a couple of days ago, where it comes up with profit, loss, how much you put in, and how much it's like, you know, sort of where you are, sort of green, red, plus, minus kind of thing. Asterisks.
Fuck.
I can't even take my money out. We were laughing about this earlier, but now that we're talking about how awful box office are, how is if these movies aren't making money, how are the cinemas making money?
Yeah.
And like, it's like, you know, like, maybe back in the day, 50% of people perhaps bought like their own bottle of pop. Look at how old am I, bottle of pop? Like your own soda. Shut the fuck up. I see you giggling like a little panda bear over there. When I see you in a couple of weeks, one of these, right to the kisser.
Oh, how much was the bottle of pop, Grandpa?
1950s. Oh, they want their words back. You still drinking Tab? Do you want a Tab? And you're like, you brought in a snack, like some star, like a packet of Starburst or some shit. I remember back in the, like, and now I'm like, oh, I need the cinemas to keep going. Like, you know, take my £8 for a nachos and a drink, but. Like in America though, I don't even we're probably gonna go see Killers of a Flower Moon. It comes out on the 20th over here. Don't know when it comes out for you, but it'll probably be something we do before I dip. But I need to see how much a drink, popcorn and nachos is, and I don't think I want to know how much it is.
I think the last time I went to the movies,
$20-$30. 25.
Yeah, no, it was like the cost, it was like the mortgage, your first mortgage, and then like half a spleen. I think, I can't remember if it was a quarter or half a spleen, but it was definitely up there.
Sold a kidney? Ah, yeah, sold my kidney.
had to, bro, otherwise how am I supposed to have nachos and a hot dog?
And God forbid you want relish on that hot dog. Some kid ain't put greasy mitts in, like, I can't believe that's just sitting out in the open, man. Just kids just slobbering all over it.
Hey, Mom, I want jalapenos on my popcorn.
No, you don't want jalapenos on your popcorn. You want salt or sugar on your popcorn, you disgusting little cretin.
Can you get Cheetos in my popcorn?
No, man. Be normal. Be normal. No kid of mine is putting no goddamn raisins in popcorn.
What the? Who puts? What?
I've seen it happen. I've seen it all. I've seen it all.
And then you've got
Mr. Five scoops at Cold Stone Creamery before the movie coming in.
Yeah, can I get like 2 scoops of butter in my popcorn? Actually, I'm feeling frisky. Make it 3.
This is grease leaking out of that shitty fucking cardboard they put the popcorn in. You can buy these tins, you can buy these cups. You know what you can't do with those tins and these cups? You know what you can't do with these tins and these cups, Sebastian? Can't fill them up at these bloody establishments. I bought one of those cups. It's like, oh, can you put my coconuts? Actually, sorry, sir, we're not allowed to do that.
What is the point of them then?
Then why are you selling it? It's the best thing Universal Studios did. If you're going to be walking around our open-air, boiling-ass-hot theme park every summer, maybe get a drink as soon as you move in. And you know what you can do? Refill that sumbitch. You know what we're also going to let you do? Refill that sumbitch at a discounted price. Universal Studios, you goddamn geniuses. Cine World's like, oh yeah, get these tins. Can I put popcorn in? No. So you want me to carry this tin? Hold on. I know Ryan can't do this because he can't even carry a bag of popcorn normally. But you want my friend Ryan, ambidextrous, fuck all, both hands, to somehow carry a bag of popcorn full, no spillage. I know it's hard for him. And one of these tins? Not happening, bro. Not today. And a drink? Get out of here. No. Do one. Mm-mm. Sorry, Ryan. But, like, am I wrong?
I'm just trying to, I was trying to segue into our last bit. Poor Ryan. Because you're like, studio, you're like giving all this praise to Universal Studios, like a studio's a genius. Like, you know, speaking of studios being geniuses, it seems like
they've come to their senses.
It seems like the writer's strike is very much nearing the end, and it looks like it's going to be a win for writers.
149 days.
Yep. 104 is fucking crazy, man. Like, obviously, we're talking about how the box office has been, you know, the movies that have been coming out. Mm. But, like, there's so many movies now that have been delayed and have just stopped production because of this. So, you know, the box office is going to be very interesting to see in the future.
Yeah.
Next year is going to be weird. Yeah. There haven't been any, like, details about this deal released yet. Nah. And it is still by no means over because, nah, you know, everyone needs to approve
tentative.
Them. It has to be a unanimous decision. It is a tentative deal, but still, it is the closest to the end of the road that we've gotten in the last 149 days.
The last two times these motherfuckers met the AMPTP, laid down an offer from the studios, and the WGA just walked out. So the fact that I knew it was going well when they met on last Saturday, mm-hmm, and they met again on Sunday. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's at least the conversation's still going. That's what I was hoping for. I didn't expect it. Like last I discussed with anyone, we said spring next year. Me and a friend, and we were like, yeah, that's just unbelievable. But the fact that it's not going to that point, I don't think cinemas would have survived.
Mm-hmm.
Cinemas like Cineworld are definitely breathing a sigh of relief that, like, movies are going to start churning out. Because, you know, so, like, Marvel is like, okay, back to work. Listen here, you cretinous scumbags. If you think we're harder than you before, I need five of you working on this. I need five of you working on this. But that doesn't come out for another 5 years. I said I need five of you working on this. Okay, Kevin. I'm sorry. You're going to sit in that room. You ain't going to come out until I've got draft 11.
I feel like at that point, you're like, I'm coming out with a check, so
yeah,
fucking salt. Oh, you my goddamn best. You're
paying me, fucker. Yo, I do need to call it there, though. I'm going out for a couple of drinks with some friends. They've just pulled into my drive.
No worries. All right, everyone. Strike's almost over.
Then box office movie sucks.
We will worry about actors a different day. So remember to like, comment, subscribe, share us, listen to us, love us, loathe us, don't loathe us. We'll see you next time.
And kiss my balls.
Deuces.
Come join us on this trip. Now, more like drinks. join us on a trip.
I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.